Today on Real Radio.
This is all about the deity of Christ. My friends, listen this morning. You ought to circle verse 27 and wrestle with it for the rest of your life if you do not see the deity of Jesus Christ in that statement.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at the book of 1 Corinthians. We're looking at a section in chapter 15 today that you may have heard or read from time to time. Verses 21 through 28, it's where Paul is speaking of sin and death having entered into the world by one man, but being conquered by another man. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, now in a lesson called One New Man, Please.
There is an indescribable change, ever so quiet, but ever so powerfully profound, that I can no longer live the life that I once lived. How that plays out, the timing of it plays out, in the powers as it's played out, it's as varied as any snowflake in the universe, okay? But God is at work within you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And a true believer knows this to be true. That's why we rejoice remembering that he will not forsake the work of his hands. That's very comforting to us. Who can say, I'm not the person I used to be. I'm not the person I'd like to be. But there's power going on in my life. Something's happening. One of those great things is that we've been freed from sin. It doesn't mean we're sinless. It means we sin less. But the sin that we do sin has no power over us. A translation to that? We sin now because we choose. Remember, we get back to decision again now. It used to be before we were Christians, we woke up halfway in our sin because we were so used to sinning that we never even thought about not sinning. Now, as believers, the temptation hits our head and we have a big battle and we fight. And when we sin now, we give in to the temptation, don't we? Someone asked me, this is classic. You heard me say this. It was a couple of years ago. I'll never forget. It was in the foyer. This man came up to me and he said, do you believe that a man could be sinless in this life? And I said, absolutely not. And he said, really? Well, I don't think you teach the Bible accurately, because he said, I am a Christian and I now, as a Christian, am sinless. And I said, yes, of course, positionally, you're sinless. Positionally. But are you telling me that you don't sin? You don't have a bad thought? When somebody cuts you off on the freeway, you don't think, you rotten good for nothing? No, he said, no. And I noticed he was standing next to a young woman. And I said, who is this? And he said, this is my girlfriend. I said, is he sinless? And she said, she goes like this. Look at me. She goes like this. Listen, if there's a couple in front of you and you're talking to them and you ask a poignant question like that, never look at the man. He will lie. He's amazing. He's a son of Adam. He will lie right straight through his teeth. The woman. And I said, answer me. Is he sinless? And she said, of course not. The Bible says in 1 John, if we say that we have no sin, we call God a liar and the truth is not in us. But the Bible also says in 1 John, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because it says if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God and with one another as we walk in the light, not in darkness. We've been freed. The end, it says, comes when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father. When will this rule and authority and power come to an end? The answer, theologically, is at the end of the millennium of Christ. The kingdom of God, the reference here, Bible theologians, is this. That reference is to the end of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. What is that? The millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ, mark it down, is when Jesus sits on the throne of David from Jerusalem, Israel. See, wait a minute. All the news says there's no Israel. All the news says Jerusalem doesn't belong to the Israelis. I know what the news says. Read your Bible. You know how one of the signs that we know we're coming to the end of the age is by the world all up in arms about Israel, the Jews, and Jerusalem, and God has written his word, and as those issues approach, God is saying, hey, in the last days, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone tied around the neck of the nations of the world. Is that not true right now? It is amazing. You say, I don't believe in the Bible. Why? Amazing. The Bible says Jesus, to be the Christ, the Messiah, must sit on the throne of David, and that's in Jerusalem. For how long? 1,000 years. But the Bible says that Jesus will reign as the son of David forever. That's right. Listen, everybody. Listen, I'm going to spare you a lot of grief. I'm going to spare you about 8 months of Bible college right here in a second. Seriously. This is about a $50,000 savings right here, right now. Jesus must sit. Oh, sit down. Hang on to your seat. He must sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem 4,000 years. Why? Because Jesus is the one and only last political king, ruler there'll ever be. It's not the European Union. It's not the Emperor of Japan. It's not Washington, D.C. Jesus is going to come back and put an end to all. Look at the word. It's awesome. He says here, he's going to put an end to all rule. Supreme Court, sit down. How cool is that? All authority, president, take a back seat. All power, think of that. Communist, move out of the way. Why? Jesus is coming. King Jesus is coming. He's going to establish his rule, his authority, his power, and he's got to do that during the millennium. Christ must physically, bodily return to the world in Jerusalem, Israel. That's why Israel and Jerusalem is such a hot topic. Satan is moving in the halls of power in nations to try to get rulers to discredit the existence of Israel. If you know a Christian who does not believe in the existence of Israel, the Jews, or the land being the Jewish land, then listen, they have fallen for the lie of Satan's doctrine, because as long as there is no Israel in the mind of man, Satan's doctrine is Christ can't return. The Bible says Christ returns to Jerusalem. Do you see Satan's thoughts? See what he's thinking? If there's no Jerusalem, Christ can't return. He thinks. God's got a way of frustrating him to no end. It's beautiful. Well, listen, a new man, a free man. Look at verse 25. Free from self. Not only sin, free from self. For he must reign till he puts all enemies under his feet. Romans 5:8 tells us, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died to free us from ourselves. My friends, listen. This is not psychology. This is spirituality. Self is destructive. Self is dangerous. Psychology might say it's all about you. Think about you. Take a pill. It will help you fix you. Listen, it's self will pull you and I down. It's freedom from self that sets us free. Oh, you know, Pastor, I just need to think more. I need more me time. What do you do with me time? A lot of people get in trouble with me time. Well, I just need to get away and think. Just, I need some. Watch out. Jesus said, if you want to find life, give your life to me. Jesus said, if you want to live, die. Jesus said, if you want to be free, listen, become a slave to me. And you say, I can't ever do that. Then be a slave to you and see where it gets you. I want to read a great statement from Alan Redpath. If you read anything or buy anything by Alan Redpath, Dr. Alan Redpath, you'll be blessed. Here is heaven's counterattack, a full-scale offensive, the great invasion into the realm of sin and death. Man made like God has chosen the mastery of the devil to become like him. Now God is made like man in order to rescue man from the domain of Satan and restore again the beauty and loveliness of the character of God, which rebellion has obliterated. Because it was a man who rebelled, it is only by a man that the situation can be recovered. The lost ground retrieved. Only thus can the justice of God's throne be maintained. Isn't that a great statement? It's all what Jesus does for us. The third thing under this point is free from death. Verse 26 says, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Now you might say, well, Jack, I have a problem right there. Why doesn't God just destroy that one first? Oh, no, listen. Even death God uses as a tool. The last enemy defeated will be death. Why is that? Listen up, everybody. Death obviously is at work today. It's been ever since the Garden of Eden. It will happen during the tribulation period. I don't need to tell you about that. You've read about that. And during the millennial reign of Christ, the Bible says, now, are you guys all listening? You need to hear this so you don't mess this up. If you're a Christian today, the millennium, the humanity of the millennial reign of Christ has nothing to do with you. You are not involved in that in a human sense. Because watch this. You have to watch me because I'm not smart enough to tell you about it. You have to wash my hands. You're right now living. You're the bride of Christ, the church, it says in the Bible. Jesus, at any given moment, will rapture his believers to be with him. John 14. Sometime after that, the seven-year tribulation regarding the nation of Israel will take place. It will start with a peace treaty signed with an ancient Roman Empire base out of Europe. A peace treaty will be generated, and it will be, the Bible says, with Israel and its neighbors for a seven-year contract of peace. It's called the tribulation period. You will not be there. You will be with God in heaven. Okay, now watch. During that time, the Jews, many of them, 144,000 men, by the way, the Bible says 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe of the nation, or from the tribes of Israel, each man and their men, their men, males, they're virgins, and they speak Hebrew, the Bible says, and they will, apparently other languages as well, and they preach the gospel all around the world. Can you imagine 144,000 Paul the Apostles turned loose on the earth? During that time, the Bible says there'll be so many saved that you cannot number them all. Then the second coming comes, where you and I, Revelation 19, return with Christ in the second coming. Then the millennium is established after, are you writing this down? After Matthew 25, the judgment of the sheep and the goats. Then the millennium begins. The government of Jesus begins with the separation of the sheep and the goats. Not real sheep, not real goats, the nations of the earth. Daniel chapter 12 tells you exactly how many days it will take Jesus to do this. Then the kingdom is established. There will be people who enter into that kingdom who go through that judgment, and they'll live into the kingdom, and they will repopulate the earth. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that when a man dies at the age of 100, he will be like a child dying. Longevity is going to increase. You want the environment repaired? You wait till Jesus comes back. He's going to make it. Mwah! Al Gore would envy. Hopefully Al Gore sees it. Right now he's not doing all that good. He's going to miss it if he doesn't listen to this message. I'm kidding. During the millennium, death's going to happen. 1,000 years, there will be people dying. Not you. The Bible says you'll be ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. That's awesome. That's good news. At the end of the 1,000 years, death will be destroyed. That's when it culminates. That's when it ends. Can you imagine? There's going to be headlines. Death defeated. One new man, please. Yep. New man complete. New man complete. This is glorious news. Verse 27, for he has put all things under his feet. For when he says all things are put under him, it is evident, it's clearly seen that he, who's he? Theologically, Father and the Holy Spirit, who put all things under him, who's that? Jesus is exempted or accepted. doesn't apply to him because he's the Savior. This is all about the deity of Christ. My friends, listen this morning. You ought to circle verse 27 and wrestle with it for the rest of your life if you do not see the deity of Jesus Christ in that statement. That statement speaks of the Trinity, the triune, the Godhead, and it is a profound announcement that the Holy Spirit, that God the Father, in conjunction with God the Son, Jesus Christ, that there is a redemptive act taking place for what? To bring about the redemption of mankind. And I wrote down this, if you would. New man complete, how are we complete? This way, by new programming. When it says that he, that is God, watch this, it's cool. When the Bible says in the beginning God created, the word in Hebrew is Elohim, God in his singular plurality. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he has put all things under his feet. God has put everything under the authority of Jesus. Why? Everything was put under the authority of Adam before he blew it. Genesis chapter 1. You see how Jesus is the buyback? Jesus is the return? It's awesome. The deity of Christ, here, greatly proclaimed. I've been reprogrammed. You're being reprogrammed by the deity of Christ. We don't need to quote the whole verse. Jot it down. Time doesn't allow. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 to 13 announces to us that in heaven we will worship God, the Lamb, who was slain for us. Wow. What's the application for us? Here's where we push through to the end. Have you been reprogrammed? Are you being reprogrammed by God? Have you received new programming? Are you under the authority of Jesus? You need to know that today like never before. Listen, number one, if you're under the authority of Jesus, you and I have no right outside of Scripture to tell people how they ought to live their life. Oh, Pastor, mind your own business. I will gladly mind my own business. As long as that issue is not doctrinal. Do you hear me? This is a firestorm in our apathetic world today. As a believer, I'm supposed to stand for what is true. I've been reprogrammed for righteousness' sake. Did not the Bible say, let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father which is in heaven? You're being reprogrammed by the Bible. Did you know that? What effect should the reprogramming of the fact that Christ dwells within you by the person of the Holy Spirit, how is that visibly viewed? You stand for what's biblical. You live for what's biblical. Why am I alive today? Why are you alive today? It's for Jesus, man. You know why you have a nickel in your pocket or a $1,000 bill in your pocket? It's for Jesus. Do you have shoes on? It's for Jesus. Do you live like that? Really, I mean it. You say, I'd like to live like that. You know what? Take Bible verses or write yourself a note. Everything I have, it's Jesus. It belongs to God. It's for his glory. And make copies of it and put it on your mirror when you shave in the morning. Look at, draw a little circle around the mirror where you shave. This mug belongs to Jesus. This is Jesus's mug. It's Jesus's car. It's all his. And then finally, we end here in verse 28. That programming leads to new action. Now, when all things are made subject to him, Jesus, then the Son himself will also be subject to him. What is that? As I said earlier, Jesus Christ will forever be the God-man in heaven. Listen, this is great for me. He did this. I hope you can say that for you. For me, Jesus, watch this. Please forgive me if I offend you by saying this. But I get to go and talk to Jesus in eternity. Jesus, I was just running around having a great time, and it just dawned on me again. Thank you for everything. Thank you so much. And there'll be a kinship and a relatability that if Jesus would have come and died on the cross as a sheep or as an angel or as a turtle or as a chihuahua, then we could have never related to him. But you and I will walk around somehow in eternity. I know this is doctrinally true because we're going to praise him forever. We're going to say, Jesus, I didn't want to look at you. Gosh, thank you, Lord. I mean, everything's awesome. Great job. And in that, if you and I can look into the face of our children and see a little bit of us or a little bit of grandpa or a little bit of grandma or a little bit, you know what I'm saying? How's it going to be that day that we have lived our lives here and our actions here in this world prove, make no doubt about it, exhibit the evidence that we now live in a resurrected newness of life, that we, you and I, resemble the voice, the look, the act, the nature of our Jesus in this world. And you're gonna say, oh, it's all about actions. And it says, look what it says. This almost sounds like out of Hollywood. Then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him. Here it is. That God may be all in all. What does that mean? Oh man, this is tough. It's hard to say because we live in a goofball culture. God is not the ocean. God is not the rocks. You understand that? Don't fall for that New Age baloney. Oh, God is the trees and God is the sky. No, it's not. God is God. Everything that is from him. Watch this. Your existence, all that verse means, all of your needs, all of your concerns, all of your very, well, we're studying on Wednesday nights. Paul said in Acts 17:28 that it's in him, God, in whom we live and move and have our being. It's this God who the Bible here is saying, everything you need, God is everything. He's not everything as an entity. He supplies all your needs according to his riches that are in Christ Jesus. So listen, my friend, you got Jesus, you've got eternity. You ain't got Jesus, you ain't got nothing. And you need to make the right decision about that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a look at a section in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where Paul speaks of sin and death entering into the world by one man, then being conquered by another. The title, One New Man, Please. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at 1 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, here on Real Radio, we often tell you about Words to the Wise, Pastor Jack's commentary, which you can get via email, Journey, one of our television programs, our Wednesday night study, which airs live on hischannel.com, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, that's another one of our TV programs that deals with topical issues, our Real Radio podcasts, and a whole lot more. Now, as you know, we always try to make things easy for our Real Radio listeners here in this point-and-click world. Well, now we've got something we're pretty excited about. We think you might like it. It's the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone. The Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. All in one place. You've got that quick and easy access to everything I just mentioned and a whole lot more. You want to hear a recent edition of Real Radio? Simple. Go to the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Words to the Wise devotionals? Very easy to find. Access it through the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. We have a feature there called Real Life Basics. It deals with the essentials of our faith. And you can follow Pastor Jack on Facebook and on YouTube. There's a whole lot to access and too much to talk about right here, right now. So just download this free app and you'll see all that it does. Did I say that app was free? Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the new app for your smartphone. Of course, you can learn more by visiting realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.